Revelation 11, verse 19. This is the word of God. And the temple of God, which is in heaven, was opened, and the ark of his covenant appeared in his temple. And there were flashes of lightning, and sounds and peals of thunder, and an earthquake, and a great hailstorm. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would be with me, and as I bring the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to your people, that you would help me to preach correctly. And Father, that you will be with all of us as we hear your word, that we will hear your voice through your word and truly understand and believe what it says. Oh Father, as we hear your word, let us be more and more like your Son. Let our faith grow. And with that growing faith, let us witness Jesus Christ and heaven, the reality of heaven that our Lord has already accomplished for us. Bless us. Bless this time of preaching and hearing your word. And receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 19 says, and the temple of God, which is in heaven, was opened, and the ark of his covenant appeared in his temple. We saw in verses 15 through 18, last time, as Jesus Christ returns, the kingdom of the world is completely destroyed, and the kingdom of God, heaven, is completely consummated. The non-believers are judged, and those who fear God's name, true Christians, are rewarded. Now in our verse, we see the heavenly temple of God being opened, and the ark of his covenant is seen in his temple. Now, what are we exactly looking at? And that is going to be today's sermon. Because to understand what we are looking at in verse 19 is so important to us who live our lives here on earth, to understand our heavenly realities so that we may rejoice even as we face sufferings and persecutions. God's word enables us to rejoice. It shows what Christ has accomplished for us. What are we looking at in our verse? We begin to answer that question by understanding the significance of the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, also called the Ark of the Testimony, when we read Exodus 25, verses 10 through 22, we learn that the Israelites were commanded to make the Ark of the Covenant of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long, meaning it's about 1.25 meters or about 4 feet. and 1.5 cubits wide, 0.75 meters or 2.5 feet, and 1.5 cubits high, the same measurement of how wide it is. So it is a box, if you will. And Israelites, they were commanded to overlay with that box with pure gold inside and out and make a gold molding around it. There are four legs and four rings are fastened on its feet. Two rings on one side and the other two on the other side. So you have box and you have four legs and you have four rings attached to that, those legs. So two rings on one side and the other two on the other side. They were also commanded to make two poles of same wood and overlay them with gold and put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry the ark with those poles. Because whoever touches the ark dies. And those poles must remain in the rings of the ark and never to be removed from them. And they are to put the testimony in the ark. According to Hebrews chapter 9, the testimony is also called the tables of the covenant, which are the two stone tablets on which God wrote the Ten Commandments. And according to Hebrews 9, the golden jar holding the manna and Aaron's rod, which budded, are also in the ark. Now that's how they were to make that ark, a little box. And now this ark has a cover at the top. So you have a box with the cover. And that cover, it is called the mercy seat or place of atonement. Literally in Hebrews, that cover is called atonement cover. And our Bible translates it as a mercy seat. The atonement cover in Hebrew, that word is related to the word that is often translated as the Day of Atonement. This is where the blood of animal was sprinkled on that cover. The Israelites were commanded to make it with pure gold. And two cherubim, two angels of gold at the two ends of the mercy seat. So you have cover, but at the two ends of that cover, there's two angels, cherubim. The two cherubim are of one piece with the mercy seat. So it's just one piece of gold. And cherubim have their wings spread upward, covering the mercy seat with their wings and facing one another. Thus their faces are to be turned toward the mercy seat. So you get the picture. There's a cover and two angels and they're looking inside and their wings are opened and covering the cover. Then we read in Exodus 25, verse 22, God says, there, meaning that mercy seat, the cover of the Ark of the Covenant, there I will meet with you. And from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are upon the Ark of Testimony, I will speak to you about all that I will give you in commandment for the sons of Israel. So, the significance of the Ark of the Covenant and its cover, mercy seat, this is a place where God will meet His people and God will speak to them. Thus, the Ark of the Covenant is where the covenantal fellowship with God and His people happens. Now, before I go on, let me try my best to picture for you the tabernacle. Picture the tabernacle as a house. Just like, you know, house today. Well, house about 10 years ago. Today, houses, they're different. They don't have driveways. They don't have backyard. Now, it's really different. But, yeah, house 10 years ago. Maybe you're living in one. There is a fence and a yard and a house with two rooms. That's how tabernacle looks. And this house has two rooms, bigger one, outer room, and the smaller, inner room. So as you go into the yard, now you pass over the, you went through the fence, and now you see the yard. You are at the yard, of courtyard of the tabernacle. And the first thing that you will see is the brass altar of the burnt offering. This is where the burnt offering happens. And behind it, the laver with water in it. So as soon as you go into the yard, you will see burnt offering altar and laver with water in it. And behind that, you will see a house with two rooms, the tabernacle. The first room is called the Holies, and as you enter it, you will see the golden lamp stand at your left, and the table with 12 bread of the presence at your right. And in right in front of you, you will see the altar of incense. And behind that, the smaller room, which is called the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies has a door, so to speak, which is a curtain. And behind that curtain, then, is the Ark of the Covenant. And once, only once a year, the high priest enters the Holy of Holies and sprinkles the blood of animals at the mercy seat to atone his and God's people's sins. God covers His people's sin, if you will. Because that mercy seat is literally God covering, atonement covered. So God is covering His people's sin. It is a place of atonement. The place of atonement is called the mercy seat. Remember, it's called mercy seat. If you translate that word like that. And it has a good picture for us to see as we translate that as a mercy seat. It is seat. Then what are we looking at? Well, let's get help from other parts of the Bible. 1 Chronicles 28 verse 2 calls the Ark of the Covenant the footstool of our God. Ark of the Covenant is the footstool of our God. Do you get the picture now? If the Ark of the Covenant is footstool, then what is the cover? Mercy seat. Then if the Ark of the Covenant is footstool, then God is sitting on the mercy seat, and the Ark of the Covenant below the cover is the footstool. Psalm 80 verse 1, NIV has it, God is enthroned between the cherubim. Whoa. Now, let's understand this picture. God is enthroned between the cherubim. Mercy seat, the cover was made with gold, but at the two ends of it, there was cherubim. So if God is sitting on the mercy seat, then he is enthroned between the cherubim. Cherubim, not... You know. What are we looking at then when we see the Ark of the Covenant? We are looking at the earthly copy of the heavenly throne of God. The glorious throne of God. God is sitting at his throne, and myriads of angels are standing around his throne, and all of his people are gathered standing before God. That is what the people of God of the Old Testament saw in the Ark of the Covenant. The earthly miniature of the heavenly throne room of God. So, to enter the Holy of Holies is to enter heaven. To stand before the Ark of the Covenant is to stand before God who is sitting on his throne. And myriads of angels are standing around that throne. That is exactly what is happening as the high priest go into that room and stand before the Ark of the Covenant. That was the understanding. That's why God said, there, at that mercy seat, there I will meet you, and I will speak to you from between the two cherubim. The mercy seat, then, is the throne of God. And this is very important, so you must understand this. To enter the Holy of Holies is to enter heaven itself. But in the Old Testament time, because in the Old Testament it's always earthly, is shadowy, but it's not the heaven itself, it's a copy of it. Earthly miniature copy of the real thing. The tables of the covenant in the Ark of the Covenant is the testimony of the covenant of God. They witness that God is the covenantal God, and He remembers His covenant, and He is faithful in fulfilling His covenant. The Ark of Covenant also witnesses the presence of God. Since it is His throne, so wherever the Ark is, God is there. That's the picture in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 10. Let us go there together. Numbers chapter 10. I'm going to read from verse 33. Thus they set out from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord journeying in front of them for the 3 days, to seek out a resting place for them. The cloud of the Lord was over them by day when they set out from the camp. Then it came about when the Ark set out that Moses said, "Rise up, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you." When it came to rest, he said, "Return, O Lord, to the myriad thousands of Israel." So wherever the Ark of the Covenant goes, there goes God. When the Israelites attacked the Jericho, the Ark of the Covenant marched with Israel. And the picture is that God Himself is marching. God Himself is attacking, because it is God's battle. So that reality was clearly seen in that event. Because when they were circling around the Jericho, they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And picture is, it is God Himself circling. That's why all they have to do is do that for 6 days. On seventh day, they circle, seven times, and they just had to shout. And Jericho fell, clearly showing that it was God's battle. God is fighting. And the Ark of the Covenant also witnesses the holiness of God. Let us go to 1 Samuel chapter 6. 1 Samuel chapter 6. Verse 19. He struck down some of the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the Ark of the Lord. He struck down of all the people 50,070 men, and the people mourned because the Lord had struck the people with a great slaughter. The men of Beth Shemesh said, "Who is able to stand before the Lord, this holy God? And to whom shall he go up from us?" You get the idea. Wherever the Ark of the Covenant, there's God. And He is holy God. And sinners cannot stand before God, who is holy. And these people try to look inside, and 50,070 men died that day. First Kings chapter 8. First Kings chapter 8. We read about the completion of the Solomon's kingdom. I mean, not kingdom, the temple. And this is what we read. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 6. Then the priest brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place into the inner sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, of the house, to the most holy place under the wings of the cherubim. So Solomon, he finished building the temple, and he brought all the things that has to be put in it. The last thing that he brings is the Ark of the Covenant. Now Ark of the Covenant is in its place, meaning that it is completely finished. Then what happens? Verse 9. There was nothing in the ark except the two tablets of stone. At this time, we don't see the jar with the manna and also the Aaron's staff. We don't see them here. Only those two tablets with 10 commandments written on them. Verse 9, there was nothing in the ark except the two tablets of stone which Moses put there at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the sons of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. It happened that when the priests came from the holy place, the cloud filled the house of the Lord. So as soon as they put the Ark of the Covenant and they come out, and they see the glory of God filling the house, filling the temple. And verse 11. So that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. The glory was such that these people could not stand to minister. The holiness of God. Clear picture of how it is so impossible for men to approach holy God when that men are sinful. The whole temple and the tabernacle, their structure witnesses to us that sinners cannot approach God. That's why the Holy of Holies was covered, not just once, but three times. So for a man to go to place where God is, the Ark of the Covenant, he had to go through three layers of covering. Even that, only once a year he was able to do that. And once a year, only one representative was able to do that. Rest of God's people, they had to wait outside. And they could not see what's going on in the Holy of Holies. It was covered with three layers of coverings. So it clearly shows the difficulty for a sinner to approach God. His consuming fire. And sinner coming to him, he will consume. We'll all die as soon as we come near to God. Numbers chapter 4. Numbers chapter 4, verse 20. But they shall not go in to see the holy objects even for a moment, or they will die. It's talking about the temple, tabernacle. If just anybody who just wanted to see what's inside. And then that guy just approached the tabernacle and go inside or look inside, he will die. That's how difficult for a sinner to approach God. So in the Old Testament, before Jesus comes, very few people went into Holy of Holies and stood before the Ark of the Covenant. Most of Israelites, they could not see what is inside and how is inside. It is impossible for a sinner to come near God on his own ability and strength. That reality was clearly shown in the Old Testament. The tables of the covenant, they witness the sins of God's people. Those Ten Commandments clearly bring charges against whomever is coming to God, because no one obeys them perfectly. But Old Testament was a shadow. The eternal reality, the heavenly reality, has come in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just the fact that you are able to see the Ark of the Covenant. And that's what happens in our passage. That the temple of God is opened. And people of God, not just one high priest, but everyone, is now able to see the Ark of the Covenant. You need to understand the significance of that picture. It is truly amazing, the grace of God towards His people. Let us go to Hebrews chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 4. It's talking about the tabernacle. You know, let me read from verse 3. Behold, the second veil, which was a tabernacle, which is called the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden jar holding the manna and Aaron's rod which budded, and the tables of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. But of these things we cannot now speak in detail. So he's describing the Holy of Holies and describing the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. Verse 6. Now when these things have been so prepared, the priests are continually entering the outer tabernacle, performing the divine worship. So many priests, you know, other than high priest, they were working, they were serving God in the outer room. They were not able to enter the Holy of Holies. Verse 7, but into the second, only the high priest enters once a year, not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the sins of the people committed in ignorance. Now you have the picture here. High priest, he goes in there once a year, but if he goes in there without blood, he dies. But with blood, he doesn't die. meaning that his sin, that animal, his sin was transferred to that animal. People's sin was transferred to that animal, and that animal died in their places. Now, obviously, this is shadow. This is not a real thing. And because that picture is pointing to what Jesus Christ will do later, and if they have that faith that one day Messiah will come and do that, the high priest was able to enter without dying, because his sins are atoned. Let's keep on reading verse 8. The Holy Spirit is signifying this, that the way into the holy place has not yet been disclosed, while the outer tabernacle is still standing, which is a symbol for the present time. You got to understand there. What he's saying is there's two rooms, and the Holy of Holies is not seen as long as the outer room is there. But the outer room is a symbol. Symbol of present age. And spiritually speaking, symbol of the Old Testament. So when Old Testament is over, the outer room is vanished. Thus we see, spiritually we see, the way into the Holy of Holies. And that is through Jesus, his torn body. But visibly, we need to wait. So understand what he is saying here. Verse 9 again. The outer room, which is a symbol for the present time. Accordingly, both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make the worshiper perfect in conscience, since they relate only to food and drink and various washings, regulations for the body imposed until a time of reformation. Time of Jesus Christ. And verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this creation. Do you understand what he's saying? In the Old Testament, high priest, with the blood of animal, he goes into Holy of Holies to meet God. But he could do that only once a year. But that was shadow. Reality came in the person of Jesus Christ. Here's Jesus Christ, the high priest. Now he goes into Holy of Holies, but true Holy of Holies, not earthly Holy of Holies, which is just symbol. But he goes into the true Holy of Holies, and not with the blood of animal, but with his own blood, the perfect blood. And he sprinkles his perfect blood on the true mercy seat, heavenly throne of God. So the atonement is now perfectly accomplished. Not as a shadowy, like Old Testament. That's why they had to do it year after year. Because it's not perfectly atoned. But Jesus Christ, he accomplishes atonement completely and perfectly. And because it was a perfect blood, which means we don't have to do that again. It is not necessarily do it over again because it was perfect. 고 to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, do you understand? See, Old Testament high priest, when he goes in, only way that he could be confident that he will not die is to take the blood of the animals. And he had to kill that animal and get that blood just the way that God has commanded him to do. But because himself is not perfect, he could never have perfect confidence that he will not die. Many high priests die because they make mistakes. No, they sin. Even as they were going into the Holy of Holies, you have to do it exactly how God commands it. Otherwise, you die. So how much confidence can a high priest have? Well, with the blood of animal, pretty good confidence, but not perfect confidence. But how about you? You entered the Holy of Holies, not earthly Holy of Holies, but true Holy of Holies in heaven. But how much confidence can you have in approaching the throne of God? Well, because you come with the perfect blood of Jesus Christ, you could have perfect confidence. If you trust Jesus, if you believe Jesus, if you are united to Jesus, that means you have the access to the Holy of Holies through the perfect blood of Jesus Christ. So, we'll go back to 10, verse 19 again. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, which is his flesh. Just like that veil has to be torn, so the way to the Holy of Holies is now open, Jesus' body has to be torn. And way to that Holy of Holies, true Holy of Holies, way to the heavenly throne room of God is now open through Jesus Christ. That's why Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says this. Therefore, let us draw near to God with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Yes, you and I, we now have confidence, boldness to draw near to God because of the perfect blood of Jesus Christ. Now in Jesus Christ, we who are in him are able to come to God with boldness. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, the Bible tells us that the curtain that was functioning as the door to the Holy of Holies tore in half from the top. The way to the Holy of Holies is opened. In today's verse, we see the true Ark of Covenant of the true temple of God. In terms of Old Testament language then, what we are looking at in our passage is that Holy of Holies is now wide open for the people of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our true high priest, not with the blood of animals, but with his own perfect blood, entered not an earthly temple, but the heavenly, the true temple, sprinkled his own perfect blood on the true place of atonement once and for all. Thus, all of God's people are now able to come to God with boldness, not just once a year, but always. Now spiritually, but later when our Lord returns, visibly. We could stand before the throne of God all the time. As we see the Ark of the Covenant, we see the covenant of God is completely and perfectly consummated. Do you remember? I will be your God and you will be my people forever and ever. And we see that reality in our passage as we see the Ark of the Covenant visible to all. All the people of God. That reality we see in Revelation 21 verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. The covenant of grace is perfectly accomplished and consummated. The tables of the covenant, actually now, that tables of the covenant, which used to charge God's people of their sins, now show the perfect life that Jesus Christ has lived for us. Before Jesus, if you approach the throne of God, the Ark of the Covenant, those two tablets, stone tablets, on which that Ten Commandments were written, they used to bring charges against you. And you have to die because you are a sinner. It clearly shows that you are a sinner. But after Jesus Christ and his redemptive work, which he accomplished already, those two tablets actually shows us the perfect life that Jesus lived for us. And the mercy seat, it now witnesses to us the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus died for us, died for my and your sins. All of God's plan of salvation has been perfectly consummated, and that is what we are looking at in our passage. Let me ask you a question, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's getting bloody. If we see the Ark of the Covenant, if we see it, then where are we standing? Where are we standing if we're looking at it? Where are we? Where have we come? You're standing in the true Holy of Holies. Oh, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, this is your spiritual, heavenly reality right now. Do you see the Ark of the Covenant as you worship God? Do you see the throne of God? Do you see God who is sitting at his throne? Where we have come?
Yes, spiritually, I hope God will give you the eyes of faith to see where you have come. What are you looking at as you worship God? You are looking at the throne of God. You are standing before God. And if we are looking at the Ark of the Covenant, the throne of God, we're standing in the Holy of Holies, the true heavenly Holy of Holies. Brothers and sisters, you have to get this. You have to understand this and believe. We have come to the throne of God. We have come to God. We are even now standing right before the throne of God, right before Him. And God said, there, I will meet you and I will speak to you. This is our present spiritual heavenly reality. Yes, we are meeting our God. He is meeting us. And He is speaking to us. All is accomplished. It is already our spiritual reality. Yes, all will be visible when our Lord returns. But even now, this is true of all of us spiritually. We have come to the true Holy of Holies, the Heavenly One. And we too come only with the blood. Just like the Old Testament high priest, you and I, we come to that place with the blood. Not the blood of animals, but the perfect blood of Jesus Christ. No, not bring it again as if we were sacrificing Jesus again. No, we come through that blood. It was once and for all sacrificed. And no more sacrifice is needed. Because it was perfect sacrifice. And you come to God every time you like. Spiritually, you are with Him all the time. And every single second of your eternal life, you come through the blood of Jesus Christ, which was already offered up to God. Once and for all. So you just come. You must believe. Without believing Jesus Christ. And I know that some of you, at least few of you, I know that you're struggling with your faith. I'm not talking about, you know, members, because then we should have took care of that. But you have to believe, otherwise you are not able to come to God. Because those two tablets of stones, Ten Commandments, are written on it. See, two Christians, it shows the perfect life of Christ, but if you don't believe, then it will bring condemnation to you. Because wage of sin is death. And sinner coming to God is death. Unless you come in Jesus Christ. No, God is not asking you to live perfect life. He knows you sin and I sin. But He requires you to believe and trust Jesus Christ and what He has done for you.
You cannot come to God apart from Jesus.
You know, in the Old Testament, those priests, high priests, when they come to that Holy of Holies, they were not able to bring anything else but the blood of the animal. Just like you, when you come to God, you cannot bring anything else. You don't come to God saying, "Oh God, look at what I have done for you. Look at what I do for you." You cannot bring that. "Look at what I have accomplished." You cannot bring that. Because those things are not perfect. God cannot accept you based upon those things. Only the blood of Jesus. Only the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Do you understand where you have come? This is the true Holy of Holies, and you cannot bring anything else here.
When you worship God, when you're meeting your God, you cannot bring anything of this world.
Do you understand that?
Only Jesus and His blood. Then you will have confidence that God will meet you and speak to you and receive you.
Now, one more thing, and we'll give me 2 minutes. Now, if we see the Ark of the Covenant, then we are in the true Holy of Holies. And if this is true, then who are we?
Well, we are God's high priests. Because only priests, high priests, can come to God in the Old Testament, come into the Holy of Holies. Yes, you are royal priesthood of God. You are priests and you are kings of God.
And if you stand and see the Ark of the Covenant, then you are a priest of God. And if you are the priest of God, then your purpose is to serve and worship God. Just like the 24 elders, no, I should say, just as the 24 elders, we too fell on our faces and worship our God. Do you see the Ark of the Covenant, brothers and sisters? See it with the Word of God, see it with your eyes of faith, and rejoice, and be glad, knowing and believing what has happened to you in Jesus Christ, and what is true of you now in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, those who are in the throne room of God, even now as we worship, you are truly blessed. See where you have come and see who you are in Christ and see what we are doing. Look at the heavenly reality that Christ has accomplished. Yes, brothers and sisters, we are meeting our God and we are serving and worshiping Him now and forever. Beautiful picture that all of God's people see the Ark of the Covenant. We see it. But when Jesus returns, it will be truly visible. But it is visible to us through God's Word, even now. Rejoice, God. Rejoice, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You that salvation is completely and perfectly accomplished in Jesus Christ. Oh Father, we do see the Ark of the Covenant through Your Word
and through faith that you have given to us. Oh, Father, all of your plan of salvation has been completed, fulfilled. And we long for that day when all these things will be visible. But Father, we thank you that they are visible even now to us through your word. Let us enjoy what you have accomplished for us, and let us rejoice. For you are our God, and we are your people, now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.